pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Joe, on a Monday, and we'll still have Kyle Tucker to talk to about the weekend in Lexington with a new basketball coach hired. We'll get back to your phone calls right now and check in with Carol in Houston. Hey, Carol.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you doing?
We are well. Thank you.
I loved the interview with Jeff Traylor. My brother lives in San Antonio, and whenever we're in town in the fall, we go to the football games, and he has really built a great little program over there. Good guy. I look forward to watching him in the next 4 or 5 years and seeing where his career will take him, because I think he's got what it takes to be a coach at a great program, a big school, big program. I think he's already turned that little program into a great program.
He has, and he was a legitimate candidate at A&M for a while.
Oh, yes, he was. Yes, he was, and I would have been happy to have had him.
I think he would have been good because I think the local knowledge was critical. But there's no doubt he'll be hired by someone down the road, even whether he wants us to say that or not.
Absolutely. And I am absolutely looking forward to the Maroon and White game this weekend. I want to see what Mike Elko is going to do with our football program. But right now, I just want to have a huge shout out for Jim Schlossnagel. I can't ever say his name right.
He's
done with Aggie Baseball is just exciting. We had over 22,000 at Bluebell Park this weekend at a game, and we're number one right now. And, you know, I know it's just baseball, but, hey, I'm proud of our Aggs, and I'm proud that they are representing the SEC so well.
No, he's I've had a chance to be around him a couple of times when we've been out in Aggieland, and he's really he's changed the narrative out there dramatically. Thank you for the call, Carol. Allow us to continue, and JB is up next.
Hey, sorry, Paul. I'll just turn a lot more off here. I just wanted to say that our normal sign of spring is come and gone once again with the Masters, and what Scottie Scheffler is doing is remarkable. You know, if not for the Swede Ludvig Åberg yesterday, he would have won by 7 shots. He hits it, you know, Scotty hits it 300. He hits his irons like the 2000s era Tiger Woods.
He really does.
Chips it, you know, he gets it up and down out of the bucket. And if it wasn't for Rory McIlroy giving him the idea to maybe swap to a mallet putter, I don't know how to stop the guy. He might win, you know, 2 more majors this year. Obviously a great chance at Pinehurst, prototypical U.S. Open for him. As well as he hits his irons. The British Open is where he's had the least amount of success, and the PGA Championship, again, always sets up like a U.S. Open, which is typically where your better ball strikers prevail. And I also want to give a shout-out to Vern Lundquist. It was pretty ceremonious, his goodbye after 40 illustrious years at Augusta National. You know, he obviously departed from CBS from football, where, you know, it kind of caught up to him, but the way he's able to put into words his golf calls are second to none. And that was really cool, watching Tiger walk off 16 and shake Vern's hand. Just want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it was emotional because that is it for him. We saw him say goodbye to football and then basketball, and he's best known really probably for some of his calls at Augusta with Nicholas and obviously Tiger. Thank you very much. That's one thing about Augusta. It is one of the few things left in sports that forever honors the past. The past is often as prevalent at Augusta National as what is happening on the leaderboard, sometimes even more so. Let's continue with more calls here. Jacob in Montgomery, Alabama. Hello, Jacob.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Well, my man Will from North Carolina earlier in the show kind of cooked us for a second about the Ole Miss spring game. But what were your thoughts on that? And I was also going to ask, I was talking with some friends earlier and about spring games in general. And what are your thoughts on, instead of having teams scrimmage like each other, what are your thoughts on having like one team scrimmage another team during the spring to make it more fun for fans and probably more competitive as well?
Jacob, I think that's a good suggestion. I don't think we're going to see it because coaches are getting more and more concerned about injuries. One reason why you see some coaches start spring so early, in case there's an injury, there's still time for rehabilitation. I would like to see it. I would like to see maybe exhibitions with smaller schools, but I think I think the spring games are an endangered species because coaches simply don't want to give anything away. They don't want anything to be gained. I've told this story before, but I spent some time about 8 or 9 years ago traveling. I spent all day with Nick Saban, and we flew from Tuscaloosa up to Connecticut for something. And he literally watched the Auburn spring game of the first 2 hours of the trip. I said, "What are you looking for?" He said, "I'm looking for one tendency, one moment in that game that could enable us to pull a surprise, to turn the game around in case we were down or we needed a spark." Coaches will not let that happen anymore because they know that with the advanced technology, you can go through spring games from an analytical standpoint and maybe pick something up. So they give nothing away. It's too bad. They're a great celebration for the university to honor players, to let fans come back, especially fans who maybe that is one of their rare opportunities to get down and see a game. But I think the idea of making them more competitive is going down the window or out the window. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Ronnie in Columbus, Ohio. Hello, Ronnie.
Hello, Paul. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You sound great.
No, thank you for taking my call. My question to you is, sir, why, just like with Nick Saban, he chose to step down, go to Congress, you know, and testify, did whatever he did, just like, well, here in Columbus, Urban Meyer got ran off. Why do they keep going back to the universities? I don't understand that, Paul.
Why they go back in terms of being part of the university? Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm talking like on opening spring.
Yeah, no, games. I know. Okay. Yeah, that's an interesting question, and it's not as cut and dry as we think. I mean, nobody knows what they would do in those shoes. So there's a school of thought that you leave someplace. You disappear. You see that sometimes with former presidents. I'm going to use one as an example, not the one you see on the news right now,
I understand.
But like George W. Bush, he left the White House, and quite frankly, has anyone really seen him? He decided to be removed from public office after 8 years as the president, and I admire that. He's a painter. I have friends who used to work for him, and they say he will show up at reunions. He's very loyal. But then there are people that you see all the time. I don't know what the right answer is. I think in Nick Saban's case, he still has one of his five homes in Tuscaloosa. So he felt that maybe he was supporting his former players. I mean, I don't know if he had asked me, which he wouldn't. Should I go to the game? I mean, I think there's always the risk when you're as prominent as Urban Meyer, Nick Saban, you're overshadowing the person who is still the head coach. I mean, if Nick Saban and Kalen DeBoer walked down the street in Birmingham, Tuscaloosa, Montgomery, or Mobile, four big cities in Alabama, you think anyone would recognize Kalen DeBoer?
No.
They would all know Nick Saban.
No, not yet.
No, at some point.
I
think that's always a challenge. I don't know what the answer is because I don't know. I don't know what I would do. If I left here tomorrow and moved on, do you think I'd be back checking it out, coming by to see you? You wouldn't be here anyway, would you?
No.
Okay.
No. But
Randy leaves the day we leave. So. I'll leave it up to people to decide. I don't think he's. I'm guessing Saban felt that he was doing it for his players who were being honored I think the seniors were honored Saturday.
You know, because, you know, I live here in Columbus. I watch a little bit of the Ohio State spring game.
Yeah.
And I was impressed with their defense, more than their offense, just my opinion. And I watch, you know, some of the Alabama spring game. And my goodness gracious, they look good. I just thought it was overshadowed by Nick Saban.
Well, that's all. And by the way, Ronnie, that isn't Nick Saban's fault. That is the fault of the media, who features Nick Saban for a couple of reasons. Number one, ESPN interviewed him because he was there. I'm sure the second they found out he was there, the producer said, get an interview with Nick Saban. As far as why do reporters write about it? Because it sells. If you if you do a story, and right now everything in digital, that's the public, what we used to know as a newspaper, now we know as a website. Everything every reporter is judged by how many people read his or her story. So if you do a story on Saban and people read it, you do a story on Kalen DeBoer.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we will talk in a few minutes with Kyle Tucker, who chronicled the hiring of Mark Pope yesterday at UK. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Angie is up next in Alabama. Hey, Angie.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
So I heard the gentleman and you talking about why Nick Saban was there, and I understand, you know, he's always probably going to be a distraction. But I think the real reason he was probably there, one of the A-Day traditions every year is that the previous year's team captains always put their handprints and their cleat prints in wet concrete outside of Denny Chimes as one of the pre-game or pre-scrimmage things, and so since those would have been his captains and his team, I think that's probably why he was there primarily.
I think you're right, because that is a part of the tradition. I think he believes he's helping, and I think it's pretty obvious that any connection to that program from Nick Saban right now is a help.
Oh, absolutely, and I think it always will be. His name will always be associated in that way, the same way that Bear Bryant and others that have gone before. So I think it's
somebody
a great
asked
thing.
Me this earlier about Angie. They said, "Well, you know, how has it been done in the past?" And I'm saying, like, well, first of all, Bear Bryant died 26 days later. Would he have been at the scrimmage? The answer is yes, he would have been because he was the athletic director.
Right, absolutely. And I think it's a great legacy, and I think Alabama fans are going to want him to be there, but I really don't think he's going to be the type to hover and meddle. I think he'll be accessible if Kalen DeBoer wants him, and I don't think he's going to feel like he needs to put his thumbprint on anything if he's not needed.
Well, first of all, he will probably only be at one Alabama game the entire fall because he'll be busy traveling around the country, so he's not going to be like some coaches that I've been around where they're always there and they do get in the way. Even if he was there every week, he wouldn't get in the way, but he's not going to be there. He'll be at the Georgia game, my prediction would be, and that will be it. So I don't think he's going to be anything but a plus. Thank you very, very much for the call. Chris is in South Carolina. You're on the air. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
We are doing great, Chris.
So you only think he's going to be at one game, that Georgia and Bama game?
That is correct. He won't be around because he'll be elsewhere.
Yeah. What you think the over and I are going to be that after Bama win that game, the cameraman walk up Haven instead of walking up to, what's his name? Oh, I don't know.
DeBoer.
Yeah. So,
man, you're going to walk up to Saban and say, okay, you're now 6-1 against Kirby Smart, and Saban's going to say, no, I didn't coach in this game.
Hey, Paul, let me tell you what happened to me Saturday. I got this done.
Chris, I think we lost your call, so we'll see if we can get you back on the air. James is up next. Hey, James.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great.
Yeah, I was at the A-Day game. But I tell you, to me, it was not an A-Day game, not the way they done it. I'm an Alabama fan in that way.
What happened?
I'm used to the way you got both teams got a quarterback and doing against each other. So just one team going against the defense all the time just didn't seem right.
Okay. Well, it was more of a game than the circus they had in Oxford. Back to what I said a minute ago, I think coaches are getting less interested in risking injuries in these games.
Yeah, to me, it was boring, because of the way they done it.
Okay.
But, every coach got their own way they want to do it.
Well, that is correct. Hey, Chris, thank you. James, thank you for the call. I think we have Chris back. Let me see if we can hear Chris this time. We lost him a minute ago.
My bad, Paul.
Okay.
I'm sorry, man. I must have got lost sitting, but I speeded up. So, yeah, I got my list done. Thought it was going to be some football on the TV. I tried to find the SEC. I couldn't find none of their games. I guess they got the special channel.
No special channel. I think the majority of the games, I think other than Alabama, were on the SEC Plus.
Oh, okay. So I seen it was Ohio State. So I started watching Ohio State.
Yeah.
I watched the first play, and the man caught the ball and he tagged him. I said, man, that can't be right. Next play, same thing.
Yeah,
happened.
You're right. I didn't see enough. That game was absurd. Nobody ever tackled anybody.
But how you play, Paul, and for a team to have 36 missed tackles in a four-game period, why they not tackling out there? They're going to be the first team ever to take Bama transfer and make them soft. Man, they just trash, Paul.
Well, I don't know about that. But this is a different world that we're living in right now. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Chris. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Buck is in Florida. Hey, Buck.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
All right. Great. Long-time caller, first-time listener. The A-Day game, that might have been the hardest-hitting spring game I've ever seen. Those boys were getting after it. Did you notice that? I know you didn't watch the whole game.
I really didn't notice that, but...
No, it seemed like they were really popping each other. And a quick question. Playoffs. who's on the bubble? You know, 11, 12, 13, 14, who's going to be glad, who's going to be sad, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, Buck, I'm not really sure, depending on where you're going there. I mean, I think there are probably 20 schools that are going to be in contention. I think you have, I mean, the two best schools and the two best teams in the country coming in are going to be Georgia and Ohio State. And then after that, I think it's a mixed bag, Texas, Ole Miss, Missouri. You've got a lot of schools that are certainly going to be contenders. Why don't we take a break here? We'll recap the weekend in Lexington. Kyle Tucker covered it all from the moment Cal left to the coronation of a new pope.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
What a day. Mark Pope returns a hero just 3 days after every Kentucky fan alive nearly lost his mind. Kyle Tucker has been covering it all from the end of Cal to now. Kyle, I want to get to tomorrow, yesterday, I should say, and what it looks like tomorrow in a minute. But before we get to the coronation yesterday, take us through the coaching search by Mitch Barnhart from a week ago when he learned that Calipari was leaving to finally ending up with Mark Pope. Good afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I think you mentioned people losing their minds, and then there were 18,000 people in Rupp Arena yesterday that were losing their minds in a positive way. I think some of the online backlash in the immediate aftermath of Pope getting the job was kind of related to expectations versus reality. I would say Mitch Barnhart, for 3 years running, since he was the chairman of the NCAA committee in the bubble tournament, and Scott Drew and Baylor won that tournament. They got to know each other. Barnhart got to see him work. I think ever since then, he has been at the top of Barnhart's list if Cal were to ever leave, as the guy to replace him. And so that was going to be his first call. I think guys like Nate Oates, who just went to his first Final Four and has had so much success at Alabama, were at least sort of feel them out calls. And that was a quick no, however you want to interpret it by Nate Oates, who I think certainly would have entertained it. But I think more from the Alabama perspective, no, we're not going to lower the buyout. We're not going to let you steal our coach. $18 million just to talk to him is a lot. Shut that down pretty quick. And then I think probably Kentucky, there's a segment of the wealthiest boosters at Kentucky who wanted to at least make Danny Hurley tell him no, and he told him no. And so when you start talking in that stratosphere, and then there's the Billy Donovan possibility, but he is still coaching his team as of right now into the middle of this week. And then if he wins the play-in game, he's in the NBA playoffs, and then who knows how long you have to wait. And I think everybody was really aware that if you wait – in the transfer portal era, the portal is going to close soon. High school recruiting is all but wrapped up in this class. How are you going to assemble a roster if you wait, even if you get Billy? And then there's the matter of Billy Donovan went down the road with Kentucky a couple times in the past and said no at the end, and you just can't risk having that happen again. And I think that was kind of where Kentucky fell. And so I think Mark Pope, in the list of, you know, I think there's this idea that they've just plummeted down to the bottom of their list to get Mark Pope. I think in the list of realistic candidates that Mitch Barnhart thought he could absolutely go get, it was probably Scott Drew one, and Mark Pope not far from two if he wasn't two on that list of realistic candidates. You got to take the big swings, and they tried to do that. But when the fans are thinking, okay, we've lost a Hall of Fame coach who was getting us, not results they wanted, but getting them, these star-studded recruiting classes every year. If you're going to lose him, you better go get a proven star. So if they're thinking about Danny Hurley and Nate Oates and Billy Donovan, and Scott Drew is in a lot of those people's minds, Scott Drew was questionable, and he's got a national title in the last 4 years. If those are the names, and then you end up with Mark Pope, who has not won an NCAA tournament game yet as a head coach, the initial reaction, as you alluded to, was what? Who? Why? I mean, they didn't say who. They know who because he played for them. But I think it was jarring to their system relative to what they were expecting at the beginning. But then, as yesterday proved, I think as people had a little time to process it, to realize how much he cared about Kentucky, how committed he was to coming back and winning at his alma mater, and how different he is. I think this is as important as anything. And yesterday, we can talk more about it, really framed that. Like, he's so different from John Calipari. The whole vibe around what he wants to do and how he wants to build a program is so different than John Calipari. It's so focused on caring about winning at Kentucky specifically versus getting five-star recruits and bragging about the NBA draft that I think it became very, very refreshing, cathartic. I would say almost therapeutic. I thought yesterday was like an 18,000-person therapy session for Kentucky fans.
And Kyle, it really doesn't matter because he pulled it off and he won the day. And Mitch Barnhart now looks like a knight on top of a white horse. But it just felt Friday, even here, listening to people almost change their mind as they spoke, that this is almost more about John Calipari than it is Mark Pope, because and maybe some of that just was cathartic or however you want to describe it, that these last 5 years has finally overwhelmed people.
I think that's right. And I think there was a sense, and I'm not even sure people realize it. I think yesterday was like people realizing it in real time as Mark Pope spoke, because so much of first what Mitch Barnhart said, where he said, we need to find our way back. Okay, well, if you're finding your way back, you're acknowledging that you lost your way. So it was the first real public acknowledgement that at the end of Calipari's tenure, not only did he, but the program lost its way. When the AD stand up there introducing his new coach saying, we're going to find our way back, that's an acknowledgement, right? So it starts there. And then as they heard Mark Pope talk, and he went point by point, essentially, saying the opposite of what John Calipari would have said or thought or done. In that situation, like Cal wouldn't go back to the Maui Classic since 2010. And Mark Pope says, well, while we're all here, what if we go back to Maui and the place explodes, right? And, talking about Rick Pitino and bringing him back. And Pitino's already today said, yeah, we'll do it. We'll play at Kentucky this year and our place next year, or Madison Square Garden next year. People are willing to love on Rick Pitino again now that he's not at rival Louisville. When he talked about recruiting philosophy and about entitlement and how entitlement was the death of you and how he was going to teach this next group of players were all going to understand that it wasn't the jersey's privilege to be on their body, but their privilege to be putting the jersey on their body. That got a huge applause. When he talked about when he was a player in the NBA, that when they sat in the locker room, they didn't talk about their NBA teams, that they talked about their college teams, and that, NBA isn't home, this is home, and that, huge pop, obviously, that's all of those points are Calipari-directed points. He talked about, I understand the assignment is to hang banners, and the next thing he said really made it crystal clear to me that this was a rebuke of the end of the John Calipari era. He said, and we're going to go to Nashville and win. Because you people go to Nashville and it matters. I mean, John Calipari at the end was openly saying, the SEC tournament doesn't matter to me. The NCAA tournament matters. Well, he wasn't winning in either of them, and people keep showing up in Nashville to watch them play and keep going home disappointed after one day. And so that got the place going. And I think as you hear this sort of point by point rebuke of how things ended in the Calipari era, I think people in that crowd were like, there were people in tears, some of them, like, because there was a lot of nostalgia being pumped in. They ride in on the bus and the 96 team gets off with Pope in the back, last one off, hoisting the 96 national championship trophy. It was a recreation of the scene when they drove the bus in to Rupp Arena to celebrate in 96. Pope was holding the trophy up. It was very, very intentional. And so you've got this nostalgia. You've got this guy up there saying he knows what it means to people there and hitting all these touch points for them. And I think in real time, people were experiencing this realization that maybe they didn't even understand at the time. Like, it felt like they'd given up something to have Calipari, because he was going to do it a totally different way that was very him-focused, that was very individual player-focused, and lost a little bit of the connection to, okay, I understand what matters about this program to the people of the state, and I'm going to address it, and I'm going to feed that beast because you are the people that make this program work. And there was this collective, I think, one, exhale, and then two, just sort of jubilation that, okay, who knows how it's going to go from here, but this at least is a person who understands who we are as a program culture.
Kyle, I'm going to ask you to juxtapose what we saw late last week in Fayetteville, where the entire press conference was about what John Calipari had done at Kentucky. And yesterday, which was a flashback to the past, but it was mostly about the future of this program by going back to the past. I mean, it's just fascinating to think about these two programs right now, Arkansas and Kentucky, and how they are intertangled.
It really is. And just even the domino effect of, you know, SMU firing its coach was the first domino that led us to Mark Pope as the next coach at Kentucky. SMU fires its coach. SMU steals the USC coach. USC steals the Arkansas coach. The Arkansas steals the Kentucky coach. And now Mark Pope, BYU's coach, has come back home to Lexington. It's going to be super fascinating over this season and however long Cal stays at Arkansas to how intertwined they're going to be forever now, you know, and they're going to play each other. And John Calipari is going to come back and coach a game at Rupp Arena as the opposing coach. It will be very fascinating. And I'm sort of reminded of there was a White House correspondents dinner where comedians and maybe even the current president, I can't recall now, but were sort of poking fun at Donald Trump in the audience. And that, like, that got so under his skin that it was part of the impetus for him to come on the attack and take the presidency when he did. I was thinking yesterday, like, watching, and Cal is sort of this bombastic sort of personality in some ways, very similar to Donald Trump. And Cal sitting at his house, his mansion, about a mile away from Rupp Arena. He was in Lexington yesterday, sitting there knowing that this thing is happening, and all of a sudden the Rupp Arena is full for the person who replaced him, and they're going nuts for this guy who's up there saying all the things that are opposite of the way he ran the program. I would imagine he is on fire in some kind of way right now. The question is just whether that matters anymore, because he had to have been on fire after a 9-16 season in 2021. And then he came out the next year and lost in the first round of St. Peter's. And you think, well, he's got to be on fire now. He's got to be on fire to prove people wrong after that. And the next year they lose in the second round. And you think, okay, well, after these last 3 years, Cal's really got to be on fire. And then he comes out this year and loses in the second round to Oakland. And so I do think Cal's probably burning pretty hot right now at what happened yesterday, a mile down the street from his house. But now the question is, like, does it matter anymore with him?
Just fascinating drama. Kyle, thank
you. Absolutely.
Incredible. Just an amazing, and I don't know when the SEC basketball schedule comes out, but I have a feeling you'll be watching it closely.
That one.
Hey, thank you, Kyle. Kyle Tucker from The Athletic. Great report there on the transformation in Lexington. Back to your phone calls when we come back.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And coming up in about an hour, A&M and Alabama, two highly regarded teams. We talked to Coach Murph earlier today. That's straight ahead. John is up next in St. Louis. So hello, John.
Hello, Paul. How are you today, sir?
We're doing great, John. Thanks for checking in.
Yeah, I want to check in real quick. And I listened to the young man you had on earlier just before I called in here. I can't remember. What's his name?
Al Tucker.
Al Tucker. And, you know, when he talked, Paul, about the UK decisions, it's almost like that song, Don't Give Up on Me, Baby.
Ooh.
And also, he reminds me of, remember Otis Sestrunk, who played for the Raiders back in the late 70s?
And early. Yeah. He played with Otis.
And you know what Otis's nickname was?
I don't.
Frank Gifford and Dan Meredith. Otis was from the University of Mars.
Oh, that's right. I do remember that.
And so that's what that young man statement. So
you're not buying the
Paul, like, cut to the chase here. I mean, this is propaganda again. Okay.
No, you know, it's real.
Paul, wake up, young man. You know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, let me cut to the chase.
I mean, they
Paul.
Just fumigated the place
big
and they got a new what?
Big money is what it's all about at major institutions. And for example, University of Kentucky went out and they hired a yes man, Paul. Instead of hiring the best coach, they hired a young man who has no
Well, first of all, John, they didn't just go out and hire him. They offered the job to about three or four other people.
Well, who would want it? Who wanted the job, Paul? I've talked about that earlier, and you just keep changing subjects. And you don't want to talk business, okay?
I'm not changing the subject, but they turned a disastrous situation, young man, into a very positive one for the fan base.
No, they didn't, Paul. They have let me name four other coaches that could have done they could offer jobs to. First of all, the coach at the University of Virginia doesn't want to coach there anymore. Tony Bennett.
Nobody wants him. I mean,
Tony Bennett is a tremendous coach.
And besides, John, Tony Bennett left his heart in San Francisco.
Okay, you're going to have to let me talk. Brad Underwood at Illinois.
Okay.
He was there for the taking.
Anybody
and then
else?
the young man up at Creighton University. What's the guy's name up there? He's a great coach.
He's a good coach.
All he does is win games. So what I'm telling you right now, UK, thank you for hiring this clown. And by the way, Paul, your show is a bunch of clowns.
Did he just say the show is a bunch of clowns? Let's go to one of those clowns right now. Johnny B is next.
Isn't that the pot calling the kettle black?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, what's wrong with him?
I'm worried about him because he was pretty funny there for a while, and he's got settled down, and it's just not compelling like it was, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I understand, but Kentucky offered the job to Nate Oates. They offered it to Drew. They went to Hurley. They went to Donovan. I mean, it's not like they just started with Mark Pope. They ended with him because they needed to find a coach who would say yes.
at some point in time, you gotta hire somebody.
I mean, you always have. I mean, you always have to have that sure thing, Johnny. Whether I could use a couple other examples, but we all been there before. Where if we get turned down by this one, that one, that one, or this one, we gotta know. There's got to be somebody that will say yes.
Yeah. Speaking of yes, man, have you heard from Jeff from Columbus?
No.
I'm sure his throat's probably sore because I'm almost positive that was him that was the starter at the Masters. Have you ever heard anybody just scream? It sounded just like Jeff introducing the players as they went on.
I must say I did not pay much attention to the starter. Isn't it usually the same person that was there when Bobby Jones opened the course?
It's his grandpa.
Oh, okay.
They just got a little hand in the back. It's like a puppet, but yeah. And on a good note, though, I thought Laura did a great job.
She was fabulous.
ESPN, man, she's on. You're talking about a rocket ride. I know she's your buddy and everything, but she elevates her game to whatever. And, you know, I used to be on the radio station, and you'd have to do funeral announcements.
Oh, man.
You have to just change your whole voice, you know, like just funeral voice or, you know, that's pretty much.
Well, like this one I'm about to do. John from St. Louis has passed away.
You'd have to scream it.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.